Federal housing authorities have cracked down on a home lender responsible for more than 1,000 loans gone bad. The Federal Housing Administration, or FHA, insures home loans but has seen defaults go up. NPR's Tamara Keith has more on yesterday's move.
In recent months, LendAmerica has aggressively gone after customers with ads like this one.
Call LendAmerica right now. Hundreds of mortgage specialists are standing by.
But the company's FHA loans defaulted at more than double the national average. This week, the FHA pulled LendAmerica's approval to make government-backed loans, essentially shutting the company down.
Making sure that this company cannot continue to behave the way it does and prey on consumers in the way they have.
That tough talk comes from FHA Commissioner David Stevens. In a statement, LendAmerica said it is surprised and disappointed by the action and is reviewing its options. Stevens says the FHA plans to continue going after problem lenders.
We are looking at other institutions right now that we think are performing in a way that shouldn't be acceptable to anybody who looks at the mortgage business or looks at FHA.
Republican Congressman Scott Garrett says the FHA needs to tighten its lending standards, and closing down problem lenders isn't enough.
It should be done. Should have been done before, but it's just probably not going to be the factor that makes sure that their book is one that is sustainable.
Garrett has introduced a bill to require larger down payments on FHA loans. The agency currently requires only 3.5% down and has resisted changing that. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
There's one more layoff at General Motors at the top of NPR's business news. This time it's the CEO. Fritz Henderson was asked to leave yesterday by the company's board of directors. The move comes 9 months after Henderson's predecessor was also forced out, that time by the government. Henderson had been under increasing pressure from GM's board, and in recent weeks, differences had surfaced between Henderson and GM's board chairman. The board chairman is the former AT&T executive the government brought in to help run the company, and he's going to take over as CEO for now. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samuelton has more on this surprise move and what's next for GM.
In March, the Obama administration's auto task force asked 25-year GM veteran Fritz Henderson to lead the automaker after forcing the resignation of Rick Wagoner. In a few months, Henderson steered GM through a perilous bankruptcy, shedding enough of the company's massive debt to make its survival possible. But his job ended yesterday, announced at a hastily arranged news conference. Henderson's boss, Ed Whitaker, the board chairman picked by the U.S. Treasury, is temporarily taking over. Whitaker says Henderson put GM on the right path.
But we now need to accelerate our progress toward that goal, which means a return to profitability and repaying the American and Canadian taxpayers as soon as possible.
Whitaker says he'll explain the decision in more detail in a few days. So it remains speculation if it was the sluggish sales or the big third quarter loss or the timetable for paying back some of the government's $50 billion investment. Jim Hall is with the consulting firm 2953 Analytics. He thinks whatever the reason, it was probably inevitable.
In a lot of ways, Fritz Henderson was the man who was born to get GM through a bankruptcy. And I mean that actually, that's praise, and it's significant praise. And he did it.
Hall says what Henderson is not is the big picture person with big ideas that GM now needs. Consultant Sheldon Stone is with the restructuring firm Amherst Partners. He speculates GM might go for an auto outsider, someone who can fix the automaker the way former Boeing chief Alan Mulally fixed Ford.
Growing up professionally in the automobile industry isn't necessarily a prerequisite to success in the CEO seat.
Other analysts think maybe GM needs an insider, but one with a reputation for shaking things up, such as GM's marketing chief Bob Lutz. Whoever it is has to be in it for more than the money. The federal government has slapped a $500,000 salary cap on the job. Stone says maybe Ed Whitaker should stay on permanently.
I wouldn't be surprised if the search led right back to him.
Analyst Jim Hall thinks not. But for now, Ed Whitaker, the former CEO of AT&T, is in charge of a car company, a big car company. Hall hopes he listens to the engineers and designers remaining at GM because they have the great ideas and a deep understanding of the auto industry. He says the good news is they're all working for a smaller and healthier organization.
GM now is a company that's totally transformed. It's slashed its debt, its operating costs, and it's, a lot of its labor costs have been slashed. They have great product in the pipeline. They have great product in the market. It's GM's game to lose.
Today, GM hopes to play that game to win at the Los Angeles Auto Show, where the company will unveil a small car, the Chevy Cruze, and the Chevy Volt, an electric extended-range car that could, if it's successful, start to convince people that GM has changed, and for the better. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay, so opening a new restaurant is a risky business venture at any time. In Springfield, Missouri, two restaurants in the middle of this bad economy have found an unusual arrangement that's allowed one restaurant to stay afloat and made it possible for a new restaurant to open. Missy Shelton of member station KSMU has their story.
When you pull off the busy expressway near downtown Springfield and turn into the parking lot, you see two signs on the front of a beige building. One says Scramblers Downtown, the other says Andoro's Pizzeria. Timothy Williams manages the breakfast diner Scramblers, and he says the signage has been a source of confusion for customers.
For a while, people thought we were closing because we had signs up that said Andoro's coming soon. They thought, you know, we're closing, a pizza place is going to come in.
A pizza place did move in last June, but Scramblers is still open. The two restaurants share a physical space and many costs, even though they have separate owners, menus, and employees. In the morning, customers can order only from the Scramblers menu, and in the evening, they can only order from Andoro's. But it's a bit more confusing at lunchtime. Even though inside the restaurant it looks and sounds more like a pizzeria with posters of Italy on the wall and the sound of soft Italian music in the background, I'm sitting here at the counter eating eggs, bacon, hash browns, and pancakes. Customers say they enjoy having the option to eat either Italian food or breakfast during lunch.
Well, variety is the spice of life, and I think that it's a good idea.
Don Dillard eats lunch here with a large group of friends every Monday. He says having pizza, pasta, and salad available on Andoro's menu gives the group more options.
A lot of people like that, too. We do have people here that eat off their menu, but I'm a breakfast person. I like their breakfast.
It's not just customers who have found there are perks with this setup. There's a benefit for the cooks, too. If one restaurant is running low on an ingredient that the other restaurant has, they'll share. The tricky part is keeping the finances separate. To help with that, each restaurant has its own credit card machine, and the computers for the wait staff allow them to ring up split tickets when customers at the same table order from both menus during lunch. Server Shervon Liston says it's easy to keep the orders for the two restaurants straight. The hard part is the timing.
You have to let the kitchen know that you're having a split ticket. Sometimes they kind of mistime it, and so breakfast kind of cooks a lot quicker than like lunch.
Even though there are still some kinks to work out, both restaurants are embracing the upside. For Andoro's owner, Tony Magliero, being able to share costs with Scramblers allowed him to break into the Springfield market.
The reason why we did it is because of the way the economy's going, and it's a lot lower, you know, startup money. As far as going by yourself, it probably would have been triple the money.
Carl Riegel teaches restaurant marketing and management at Missouri State University. He says this approach is certainly unusual.
When I first heard about it, I said, this is crazy. But then the more I thought about it, I said, well, no, it can work. But there are some pitfalls. There's accounting issues that have to be dealt with, a problem of a confused image in the public's mind about the place.
The owners of both restaurants say they don't know how long this arrangement will last, but both are willing to tough it out until the economy looks better for independent restaurants. But both are hoping at lunchtime, customers won't be too confused by the aroma of scrambled eggs mingling with the smell of fresh baked pizza. For NPR News, I'm Missy Shelton in Springfield, Missouri.
The Obama administration is attending to the other big issue for Americans today, jobs. The White House is hosting a jobs summit as it looks for ideas about how to put people back to work. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
The administration will get advice today on promoting jobs from big business executives, small business owners, economists, union leaders, and the mayor of Allentown, Pennsylvania. Mr. Obama plans to visit Allentown tomorrow to see who's hiring and who's not. Mayor Ed Pulaski says many would-be employers in his city could use some extra government help.
We have some people who are really hurting. We're going to talk about some of the things that they could do to help stimulate jobs and improve the economy. As far as loosening up lending, getting some credit into the marketplace.
The administration has been trying to boost credit for small businesses with limited success. But the Obama administration's been hesitant about spending a lot more money to create jobs. Political analyst Charlie Cook says the White House is caught in a political tug-of-war between those worried by rising unemployment on one hand and a rising federal deficit on the other.
There is one group that says we need to do more about the economy, more to create jobs. And then there's the other side that's saying we're blowing the heck out of budget deficits and they're getting squeezed.
Some critics complain the guest list for today's summit is stacked with those who favor additional government spending. But since pushing for the big stimulus package earlier this year, the administration has been stressing fiscal restraint. In announcing the job summit, Mr. Obama said it's particularly important at a time of limited resources that the government not make any ill-considered moves. He warned, in an interview with Fox News, that excessive government spending could make the nation's economic problems worse.
If we keep on adding to the debt, even in the midst of this recovery, that at some point people could lose confidence in the U.S. economy in a way that could actually lead to a double-dip recession.
That note of caution was welcomed by economist Diane Lim Rogers. She works for the Concord Coalition, which promotes fiscal responsibility. And she notes many of the president's economic advisors are veterans of the Clinton administration, whose balanced budgets were credited with spurring economic growth. Rogers says some deficit spending may be warranted in the current climate, but only within limits.
Just because we decide we need more deficit spending, and we may decide we need that, does not mean that it's okay to waste the money.
Other economists argue this is no time for the administration to worry about deficits when facing double-digit unemployment. Dean Baker is co-founder of the left-leaning Center for Economic and Policy Research.
I understand politically they have to appear to be concerned. They have to say they're concerned. And obviously, somewhere down the road, the deficit will be a problem if we continue to run very large deficits. But this year, next year, the year after, we need to run large deficits to keep the economy going.
Economist Larry Michel of the Economic Policy Institute agrees. He wants the government to offer tax credits, effectively paying employers to hire people, or even to launch its own jobs program, as it did during the Great Depression. And Michel's not worried about using borrowed money to do so.
There's no way to generate more jobs in the next 2 years without incurring a higher fiscal deficit. In fact, it's the smart thing to do because, you know, generating jobs and getting the private sector going is going to be needed for getting the deficit down in the future. Plus, we're doing tremendous damage to people, to children, and to the economy by this high persistent unemployment.
Mr. Obama says he's determined to meet the challenge of joblessness, even as he cautions, there are limits to what the federal government can or should do. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.